Hello, I'm Philip McVeigh, and I'm here with Ron and Robin Garriga. They're the directors of our generosity campaign, Will You Grow? And each week we've been taking the words one at a time, will, and then you. And today we're focusing on the word grow. When you hear the word grow, what do you think of with what we're asking the congregation to do?
My first thought is a little bitty seed being put into the ground and just sprouting up and growing into a big bean vine, kind of multiplying.
You're so creative, Robin. I didn't have that vision at all, by the way.
What's your vision?
My vision was a stepping stool and watching yourself grow as you, not grow, but grow. That's what I was thinking.
Well, I'm hearing pretty clear that you're thinking it's not remaining where you are. Mm-hmm. It's about doing something different. Say a word about if you could invite the congregation to grow, what would you want them to do differently?
I think we all have our own financial ability. We all know what we receive. And I would just like to challenge our church family to see where they can take it up to the next level of what they would like to give back to the church, give to God. We talked about last week of how the sacrifices God made for us. Well, when you freely give and you grow abundantly, your life grows abundantly. Things just flow better. Things just work better. The dots connect better. So I know that in our life, as we have tried to grow, we've always felt really good about that. And our lives just tend to want to be better.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you think about the congregation, and we thank you so much for being our directors for this generosity campaign. I heard you say in the opening week of introduction that you were excited about what was going on in the church.
Absolutely.
And if we all grow together, God gives us a vision of flourishing, yes, of abundance. What does that mean to you as you look at our church?
For me, my example of growing was planting the seeds. And I'm thinking about a tree. And, you know, when it's young and you water it or you feed it or you contribute to it, the roots are going to grow stronger and stronger and spread out. And so I'm thinking that as our generosity grows with our giving to our church, we're going to be stronger and stronger and more of a beacon to our community.
Yeah, that's well said, Robin. I think that for me, in growing, it would be the joy that we do receive from that growing to that next step. I think that when we look at our church family and we see what we are accomplishing already, I mean, we have a very prosperous church, but we want to do more. We want to give more. We want this corner to, like Robin just said, a beacon. We want this to just shine. We want a light to shine throughout this community about what great things are happening here at Shalimar United Methodist Church. And that takes resources. And what a great way to see your resources being used than amongst those who need it.
Right, right. Well, thank you for challenging us with these three words. Will you grow? And I want to thank Ron and Robin again. Ron, it's your birthday.
It is. Today is Ron Garriga Day.
And that tells me that you're taking this very serious, that you want to see this church grow. You want to see us all individually take
Absolutely.
A step of growth. Thank Absolutely. You so much for that. And let's end with that phrase we've used the previous weeks.
Will you grow with us?
Good morning. It is my happy privilege to introduce, for those of you that do not know, but most of you know, David Mobley. The best thing about David Mobley is he's helping us with your Will You Grow campaign. But 3 years ago, he and his family, endeared to us, so committed to Shalimar, moved away But they came back. So welcome, David.
Thanks, and indulge me for a minute. This is my favorite part of these services. Good morning. I get a response back. It's awesome. Hey, if you would, real quick, dig through your bulletin, find this chart and a pen, because in a minute you're going to need this, because I'm going to step you through some things, and we're going to do a little exercise, kind of like back in fifth grade when the teacher said, okay, quiz time. So if you would, get that out. But like Pastor Phillips said a few years ago, we did have to move down to Tampa area for family reasons, and we left with a heavy heart from Shalimar because this is our church home. As we got down there, we looked for churches that represented something like we had as the experience at Shalimar, and it was tough. We did find a place. I won't go into that. If you want that story, I'll tell you that later, but we'd be up here for a while if I was to tell you the whole story. But, you know, it was tough finding a church because our 7 years prior to that at Shalimar, we had started to really grow, and you're going to see that and hear that G word a lot over these next few days and through the week. But it's an important word because growing in Christ meant so much to us. And so we kept comparing our growth here with every church experience that we had down in Tampa. Now, you know, we returned home over the last couple of months. My wife will be back on the 19th for good. And so we're joyful about that. And the reason we call this our home is because it is the church. And that means the fellowship that we have with each one of you, our friends that are here, the small town community, the fact that when we go to the Friday night football game, we see half our church there too. So we have a lot of fellowship. But as we return, we also want to grow even more. So bear with me as I step you through a little exercise here, and then I'll wrap it up with some comments about this. What you have in your hands, and hopefully with a pen, is this step chart. It shows you that that's our congregation's monthly giving. And at the bottom left, you just have anywhere from a penny to just under $25 per month. That equates to somewhere under $300 a year. And so we had 183 congregants last year that gave in this amount. The next step, we had 86 congregants that gave somewhere between $25 and just under $60 a month. Then it went to 58, and then I'll step through a little bit faster as we go, because you can see these go in like $50 increments per until you get up to where we now go from 35 to 77, and then the step from 77 up to a significant more per year, where it goes to $850 to $1,249 per month of giving. We had 9 households at that level of generosity. And believe it or not, we had 4 households with over $15,000 given annually. But I think what I want you to do, and I promise I won't make you raise your hands or point out to us where you are on this chart, but we do want you as a family to see where you are on this chart. Look back at your giving and see which step you're on. And we pray that over these next few weeks that you'll make that commitment to step up this chart. Now, as I've personally experienced finances, yes, money sometimes is tight. And every time I've looked back at my finances, never once did I get to the end of the month and look at, hey, I'm really tight on money, and think, man, I really wish I hadn't written that check to God. I never regretted that check. I did regret all my trips to Lowe's and Home Depot, I can assure you of that, because those really took a bite out of my budget. But I never felt bad about that check, because I knew that my resources going to this church would become the joy for our community and would lead to great things, whether it's hurricane relief or whether it's getting neighbors that live right down the street from this church could walk here every Sunday, but they don't. That outreach can mean a difference, and they walk down here maybe. You know, growing means more than just height and stature and all that. You've heard those things. To me, it means study. It means fellowship. It means, yes, our finances. And it brings joy to our personal hearts, but mostly to the community around us when we have the kind of resources and level of giving to the community that can empower others and make them come to Christ. So again, I pray that we will all step up this chart for Christ over this next week as you're looking at your commitment and bringing your cards back next week, and also throughout 2019. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning. Would you lend me your ears and open your hearts to these uplifting words and motivational words from the book of Psalms? It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High, It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and a melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mike, for that powerful reading from Psalm 92. Let me share with you before the sermon that I would like to add my appreciation to all the veterans who are here today. How inspiring it is to see so many folks stand in one congregation. And the orchestra and the chancel choir and all of the dramatic reading contributed so much to our worship today. But thank you to all of the veterans. Thank you that for all who are currently serving, we do not take for granted your sacrifices and your service for our country. Thank you so much. I wanted to also say that this is a document that you should be getting by mail. If you haven't gotten it already, you will be getting it. And if not, it is available online. It is a toolkit. And it will go through some information similar to what David shared with us today. Give you some more thought for your prayer and discernment in preparation for 1 week from today. Would you join with me in prayer? Thank you, God, for this day that you've given us to worship. This day that you've helped us to remember veterans for a century. And now we pray that as we open up the 92nd Psalm, that we'll hear what you're saying to us. We thank you for the strength that you give our lives. Strong as an ox, the scripture says, when we apply your teaching to our lives. And yet we know there are those tender moments where we need to be ministered to, and that you give us your oil, you give us your grace that is sufficient for our every need. So we come today for your strength and for your grace that you give us. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A call came into the office this week asking to talk to the big hog at the trough. And our assistant said, "I'm sorry, but if you're referring to the lead pastor, Dr. Philip McVeigh, that's no way to refer to him, the big hog at the trough." And they said, "Well, we were going to give a donation of $100,000. And then she said, "I think the big pig is available right now." Well, I wanted to share that because really it's the opposite message we hope that you are hearing in these messages about will you grow. If I had one thing to just say I hope in preparation over the next week that you will be praying about and thinking about more than anything else. It's this. We give to the Lord. We sometimes say we give to the church. And the church, obviously, the ministries of the church benefit and even flourish because of our giving. But at the basic core, we're giving to the Lord. And there's a big difference, giving to the Lord and giving to the church. I like to say it, we're giving to the Lord through the church. So that's what we're inviting everyone to do. And over the last few weeks, we've asked everybody to remember that though we stop growing in height and size, we never stop growing in our walk with the Lord. And this walk of generosity is one of those areas of discipleship that we seek to grow every day, every breath of our life. We can grow in our generosity. One of the questions we've asked over the past few weeks is, you can grow, but will you? There's a difference between can and will. We have to think about what is it that we will actually do. It's not just a theoretical possibility that we will grow, but will we grow? We're asking our congregation, still a week out from our commitment weekend, to make a commitment to make a commitment. That sounds redundant, I know, but it means something. Will you make a commitment to make a commitment? 1 week from commitment weekend, will you make a commitment to make a commitment and be in prayer about what your commitment will be a week from now? And so we asked you to have these conversations with your families, and there's still time to do that. These are meaningful conversations about our contributions. And it's good to be on the same page with our families. And if we live alone, to have those conversations with people that we would have those conversations with, our children, our grandchildren, so that we can be prepared for 1 week from today. Karen and I had our conversation this past week, and we have tithed early in our marriage. We started tithing. We grew beyond a tithe. We give beyond a tithe now, but we are growing up. We're growing up to the next step in our own journey here at Shalimar for 2019. It is important for us to continue to grow beyond a tithe each year as God has blessed us. So we would invite everyone in our congregation to grow that next step, to grow another step, to grow where the Lord is leading you to grow in response to this challenge. Will you grow? And so today we focus on the word grow. And this 90-second psalm is so rich with wonderful teaching. If you've not read it, if you've only heard it today, I would invite you to go home and read it. Because here's some of the teaching that just captures me as I read this text. It says, "You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me." You thrill me. Think about the word thrill. How long has it been since we've been thrilled about anything? And how long has it been, have we ever been thrilled with what the Lord is doing in our life? That's big. I've had some thrills in my life. I love sports, and I love it when Auburn pulls out a last second victory. Didn't happen last night, but I love that thrill. And I love it, I suppose, when I stood here just a few steps behind me and Karen and I were united in holy matrimony 33 years ago. That was a thrill that day, and you can tell her it's still a thrill for me now. Amazing, really, she stuck with me this long. And each of my three daughters, when they were born, I was there for their birth. It was a thrill. Nobody had to tell me, said, are you thrilled? I was just thrilled. But I can tell you, the greatest thrills of all have been when the Lord has stirred in my life and I knew that I was doing what he wanted me to do and I was beholding something that he was doing. And there's nothing quite like that. And the reason why the thrills the Lord gives us are different is because they give us a taste all the way into eternity, what it's going to be like one day. The thrills in this world will pass, but the thrills in the Lord, they last forever. And the psalmist reminds us here in this psalm of doxology, reminds us that the Lord has done so much for us. Think about that this week. What has the Lord done for me? And be thrilled in all that the Lord has done for you and for me. Secondly, another word about that is that this is a past, present, and future Thanksgiving. We're moving into Thanksgiving, and we think about what God has already done for us. We think about what he's doing, and we think about what God is going to do. And he is going to do great things through this church, and we all want to be ready to do our part. Secondly, the psalmist says that evil sometimes seems to get the upper hand and sprouts out and it proliferates. But we need not be confused by evil, because evil has a lifespan. Evil is going to eventually lead to scattering, and the scattering will no longer have the power and influence it does today. Evil is just for a season. It does not have eternal consequences with the Lord. The Lord is always greater than evil. His goodness is always greater than evil and will triumph. So here's the teaching of the 92nd Psalm, is that while evil has its way among us some, we need not lose hope, because it will eventually scatter and dissipate. But the Lord's goodness, on the other hand, will gather together. And this gathering together will create strength. And this strength will move us all the way even into eternity. And though this is written pre-church, we can see the correlation here, that when we gather as a church body, it is the gathering of goodness. It is the gathering of God's goodness among us. And we are moving towards something greater and bigger than ourselves, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God's goodness will be gathered, the psalmist says. And finally, there's a word here that is stronger than grow. Will you grow? That's pretty compelling. That's pretty strong. But in the 92nd Psalm, the question would be, will you flourish? Will you flourish? And here's the teaching. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. The godly will flourish. The godly will do more than just get by. The godly will do more than just get from one year to the next year. No, the kingdom vision here is one of abundance. It's one of flourishing. And so I would say from this 92nd Psalm, the teaching is that God not only wants us to grow, but he wants us to experience flourishing. And when we offer ourselves completely to him, this flourishing becomes possible. God's abundance. Ephesians 3:20 speaks to this, that the Lord is able to do immeasurably more than we think or imagine. Flourishing. He gives us the capacity through his power and strength to flourish. It's His power and strength that creates the capacity in us to flourish. And it's almost 12 o'clock. And I'm going to stop today. At 8 o'clock this morning, I did not finish the message. I'm not going to finish it now. Come back next week. It's going to be flourishing 2.0 with a little twist. Seriously, God wants us to grow. He wants this church to grow. He wants us to flourish. Let's join in with what God is seeking to do. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this teaching of the 92nd Psalm. So much is in here that challenges us to live righteous lives, to live with your teaching so that we'll be strong as a cedar. And yet we know that often we need the ministry and the grace that you offer, the oil, and you give us that. So everyone here today, whether it is your strength or whether it is your oil, we pray that we will receive that which you are seeking to give us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.